Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let our Jesus change our life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this glorious day with baptism. Another brother in your family. Lord, thank you for our freedom. We get to sit in this house with no worries. And Lord, thank you for that. There's people across this country, in this nation, in this world that's fighting. Let them know that you're with them. Always. Lord, thank you so much for being with us always, carrying our burdens, Lord, and thank you for letting us bring them to you and always being there to pick us up when we fall down. Lord, I pray with your messenger this morning, Lord. Be with him as he brings your message. Speak through him, Lord, where we will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your message. I know we're all here for a reason, and Lord, if someone's brain chains can be broken today, Lord, free them from them bondage. Thank you for being with us always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Woo! If you can't preach after that, you might as well go play checkers. I appreciate Brother Andrew and our worship team so much. Let's give God praise for them. How many of you know Sarah Barnett was singing about somebody she knows? Thank you for your attendance here today. I was telling Will in the back, I had 15 families call to tell me they weren't going to be here this week. And, you know, that really blesses a pastor to hear that kind of stuff. But anyways, a lot of our folks needed some time off this week, needed to take a break. And, you know, rest and vacation time and relaxation is good. If you don't do that, if you don't come apart, you will fall apart. So, but the main one we want to see here is the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God comes down and manifests His presence here in a great way, we'll all be the better for it. Amen? And isn't it good to have our young musicians back with us? Amen? We've been praying for the McCullough family and a lot of others too. So, and oh, my brothers, the Adult Teen Challenge boys are back. Amen. God bless you all. Now, y'all, boys is a term of endearment, okay? And that's not any kind of thing derogatory, all right? Just want you to know Second Mile Church loves you guys, and we're praying for you. If you've got a Bible this morning, we need to get started. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. It's kind of dark outside. Thomas, could you just pump those lights up just a little bit so your old preacher up here can see better? That would help out, okay? When you find Luke 24 and verse 50, let's all stand as we honor God's word. All right, thank you. That's great. Appreciate it. Luke chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 1. This is the sister passage. And I'll start there at verse 8. I think it makes more sense to include that verse. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But you," who? you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." May God add his blessing this morning to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of his word. You may be seated. For those of you that are guests and visitors today, we're in a sermon series called The Truth About the Truth series. And this is, I don't know how many sermons we've preached in this series, but it's quite a few. And we're learning about some great truths in the Scriptures. And so there are five historical facts concerning the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Five great truths about the Lord. There is His incarnation, God becoming a man. There is His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, and His glorious exaltation. Now, we've covered the first three of those, but this morning we want to look at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, this is one of the most amazing, amazing truths that's taught in the Scriptures. But you know what? I've only heard one sermon on the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Just one. And it may be the greatest sermon I've ever heard. It was preached, first of all, in a Baptist camp meeting down in Mississippi by Dr. Jerry Vines. And much of what you're going to hear today is his material. Some of it's mine, some of it's his, but it's all the Holy Spirit. But I want to give credit where credit's due. And, of course, he's gleaning from other people, just like I'm gleaning and you're gleaning today. Amen? And so I want to talk to you this morning about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to John 6 and verse 62 and John 7 and 33, Jesus was homesick to go back to glory. How many of y'all ever been away from home and you got homesick? Well, Jesus had completed the work that the Father had given him to do, and he was ready to go back to that world where he was even before the world was. He was ready to go home. And so, you know, the ascension of Jesus Christ is like finding an untapped mine of wealth. It's like finding an unexplored ocean of treasure. It's like finding an unsurveyed galaxy of glory. Now, if we had been present and they had television cameras back in the day and iPhones and smartphones and internet capability and all of that and social media, the ascension of Jesus Christ would have been broadcast all over the planet. But you know what? They didn't have that. But we got something better than that. And that something is the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying He will make it so real to your hearts today that when you leave here, you'll be different than the way you came in. How many of you know we need to be different? All right. So, Jesus calls his disciples up on the Mount of Olives, calls them to himself for some last-minute instructions. And I'd like to get on the internet of our imagination. Let's go back to the Mount of Olives. Now, that's going to be a stretch for some of us, right? But I want us to go back and try to put yourself there in this place. And the first thing that's being taught here in Luke's gospel and over in Acts is that there was an exit from this earth. Jesus had gathered his disciples on the eastern slopes in a little village called Bethany on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. That's where all this is taking place. And he tells his closest followers that he's leaving them and he's going back home. And I mean, he was done with what the Father had sent him to do. He had accomplished the Father's plan. I mean, he had reconciled an outraged heaven to a rebellious world. He put his resurrection foot on death, and it was time for him to go home. So let's look at this. Now, he's got all his disciples there on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives with him. And suddenly, I said suddenly, the strongest law in the universe was broken. Relaxed, suspended, I don't know how God did it. But all of a sudden, the strongest law in the universe, the law of gravitation, was broken. Now, you know, it's the same law that keeps the stars and holds the stars in their place tonight. The law of gravitation. It's the same law that keeps the sun in its place. It's the same law that keeps the planets whirling around the sun. The law of gravitation. But on that day, the law of gravitation could keep a hold on the stars, but it could not hold the bright in the morning star. When the law of gravitation could keep the sun in its place, it couldn't keep the Son of Righteousness from arising with healing in His wings. There was an exit from this planet. And Jesus, right before the eyes of the disciples, began to rise. We sang about it. I'll fly away, oh glory. You're going to learn to fly. You're going to learn to rise just like Jesus did. And so we've got this ascension thing going on. And really, it's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, it was expedient. Well, I don't want to use a big word. It was to our advantage that the Lord went away. Did you know that? I mean, the disciples wanted to keep Jesus here, right? But it was important that Jesus go away because John chapter 7 and verse 39, I believe it is, and John 16, 7 says that it was to our advantage because if the Lord didn't leave, the Holy Spirit couldn't come. And the Holy Spirit's everywhere. Look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Spirit's here. He is everywhere. And so when Jesus went back to heaven, His gift to the world was the Holy Spirit. How many of you are, I know you're Baptist, but how many of you are thankful for the Holy Ghost? Amen? Anything God's doing right now is being done by the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. What a gift to this world Jesus gave us. And because the Son is up there, because the Spirit is in here, the saints can have victory out there. Somebody ought to be doing a victory lap right now. We've got victory because God has given us the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for Him? Let's give God some real praise. Hallelujah. There was an exit from this world. There was an exit from this world. Now, I want you to, there's another ascension gift that the Lord, and I've talked about this a little bit, but I want you all to see it. Turn in your Bibles, if you've got a Bible, if you've got a smartphone, whatever it is, and look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 10 says, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself, now who is that? Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. The Lord Jesus, gave a gift to the church. Gave a gift to the whole world in the person of the Holy Spirit, but He gave a gift to the church, and the Lord's gift, His ascension gift to the church, were gifted men. Do you see that last office there of teacher? You see this brother right here? He is a teaching pastor, really what Billy is. And he is God's gift to Second Mile Church. Go ahead and swell his head up a little bit and say thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I'm your pastor, and bless God. I am supposed to be God's gift to Second Mile Church. I understand I'm the gag gift, all right? I get that. God's got a great sense of humor and all of that. But you know what? I thank God for his ascension gifts that he's put in my life. I thank God for Dr. John David Lida. I thank God for Roger Freeman. I thank God for Adrian Rogers. I thank God for Warren Wiersbe and John Phillips. I thank God for James Merritt, one of my mentors. I thank God for Dr. Robert Smith, my preaching professor. You may be thinking, well, he didn't quite do a good enough job with you, but I thank God for his preachers, his pastors, his teachers, his flames of fire. And I've come here today to tell you the hope of this nation is not in Washington, D.C. It's not in some politician. It is the hope of this nation is when God's gifted men get up in a pulpit somewhere and teach and preach an ascended Lord. He's Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he's Lord. He is Lord of the universe. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 1. It's almost so subtle, you don't realize it. Well, if I can find it, goodness gracious, Cal. Acts chapter 1. Here it is. It's subtle. Verse 10, Acts 1 and verse 10 says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Now, verse 9 tells us that he, when the law of gravitation was broken, that he started rising and going up, and a cloud met him in the air. A cloud. And took him out of their sight. Do you know what cloud this is? This is the same Shekinah cloud of glory that guided and guarded the children of Israel all through their wilderness wanderings. I find myself looking at these clouds when I'm out traveling in the car. And I'm thinking, ooh, that cloud looks gorgeous. Well, one of those chariots of deity came to get Jesus and received him up and took him out of their sight. Ah, that glory cloud. Can you imagine? Took him home on angel wings. And then this amazing announcement set the disciples on fire. They're standing there. Can you imagine? Can you put yourselves in their shoes? This is the one they'd been with for 3.5 years. I mean, they had been together with him. They'd ministered with him, they'd laughed with him, they'd cried with him, they'd seen him crucified, they knew he was alive again, they'd spoken to him, all of this, and he's rising up, and then he's received into this huge bright cloud, and then he's out of their sight. And the Bible says that they're looking steadfastly. And what that word in the Greek means is that they were stretching their eyeballs out. Can you imagine? Can you? Oh, that was old Simon. Oh, there goes my Lord. He's the only one that can do anything with me. All those disciples watching him rise. And then that amazing announcement in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says this, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing at this one who has been taken up into heaven? The one who has been taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And that news set the disciples on fire. They knew that their Lord had been raised to life. They knew he was alive forevermore. And 10 days later, when the Holy Spirit fell, they had such a bad case, I can't help it, that Jesus was coming again. They, everywhere they went, the Bible says that their world was turned upside down by the teaching and the preaching and the ministry of the disciples, the followers of Christ. They knew he was coming again. You know, it's been beautiful this week, hasn't it? And man, there have been so many gorgeous. And you know, I know I'm half nuts, but I look up in the sky when I'm driving down the road, and I'll see some big, beautiful. I saw a cloud the other day, last Wednesday or morning, I think I was out walking, and there was this gorgeous, beautiful, bright, white cloud, and there was a hole right there in the middle of it. And I thought, oh, I wonder if Jesus is riding that cloud today. He's coming again. And friend, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And we can do anything that He wants us to do today. There was an exit from this earth. Isn't that great news? Woo! Now, let's get to the meat of this message. There was an entrance on the other side of that cloud into heaven. The disciples couldn't see it. But I'll tell you who did see it. 1,000 years before it happened, David wrote about it in Psalm 24. I wish we had time to go there this morning. But oh my goodness. Ephesians 4 and verse 10 says that He who descended into the lower parts of the earth is also the one who ascended, that He might fulfill all things. Now, can you imagine? Up this cloud goes, up through the first heavens where the birds fly and the clouds are formed, up to the second heavens where the Milky Way galaxy resides and is, and where the stars are, up into the third heavens of heaven itself, where God resides, where heaven is. And let me just read another little verse of Scripture. This will bless you. How many of you would like to have your socks blessed off of you? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject unto Him. Who? Jesus has gone into heaven. And the Bible says that He sat down. Normally, when you're sitting down, you're finished with everything else you're doing for a while, right? Well, when Jesus sat down, everything that needed to be done for your salvation has been completed. The work is finished. There ain't anything you can go out here and do to get it. You can't merit your salvation. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. Your righteousness, my righteousness, is like a filthy rag. Jesus sat down knowing that He is at the right hand of God. And the Bible says angels and authorities and powers and principalities are subject unto Him. And I love what Philippians 2 says. And He has been given a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And can I just tell you, He's got a right to be your Lord. Romans 14 and verse 9 says that He died and rose again and lives forever, that He might be Lord of the living and the dead. He's Lord of the universe. He's got a right to be your Lord, and He wants to be your Lord. Don't you ever doubt that. Dr. Stephen Olford tells, who's South African, great pastor, theologian, author, tells a story about growing up in South Africa, and one of the chiefs of some great African tribe over there had died. Excuse me. And so there was four men running to be the new chief. And one of those men was a man by the name of Dazi. And the other three opponents of Dazi began to run Dazi down. Don't you love the way politicians run for office? They don't tell you what they can do. They tell you how bad everybody else is. Well, they began to question Dazi's love and loyalty to the tribe. Well, on election day, everyone that was running to be the new chief had the opportunity to speak to the tribe. And so the other three opponents of Dazi all got up, and every one of them said something negative about Dazi's love for the tribe. And then came Dazi's time to speak. And he said, some of you have questioned my loyalty, my love, my passion for the tribe. And he began to recount the story of just a few years before how when the leopard had entered the village and had killed several people. And until Dazi had grabbed that leopard by the head, crushed its skull, but in the process, that leopard had mangled his hands and his arms. And so in his speech, he said, some of you doubt my love. And then rather dramatically, he lifted those nubs and said, if I hadn't loved you, I would not have faced death for you. These are the tokens of my love. And in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your leader. And the tribe, everyone to a man began to jump up and down. Dazi, Dazi is our leader. Dazi is our leader. Do you remember what Luke's gospel said? When Jesus, just before he began to, he did what? He raised his hands as if to say, these are the tokens of my love. And in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your Lord. He's Lord of the universe. Is he Lord of your life? Is he number one? Is he numero uno? Is he? Well, he wants to be. Now, we didn't. I mentioned Psalm 24, and it tells the story a lot better than I can. But what happened on the other side of that cloud was an entrance into glory. Now you get this parade looking right in your mind. Jesus, in this chariot of deity, this angelic cloud, this Shekinah cloud of glory, has death and hell and the grave chained to his chariot wheels. In behind him, he's got all those Old Testament saints, and he's sweeping through the gates of pearl. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels lining Main Street. There's only one street in heaven, Revelation 21, 21. And the angels began to shout, Lord, we're so glad you're back. Man, it just hadn't been heaven without you. Praise God, you're home. And it got to be fever pitch, and the king came marching in. I love to hear the king is coming down here. What do you think it was like when they sung it up there? Glory to his name, but there's a far more precious reception as the son gets up to the throne, ascends the steps, and the father steps up off of the throne and looks at the wounds in his son's hands and his feet and brings him to himself, hugs him, kisses him, and then announces to a redeemed universe for the second time, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is this morning until one day soon he's going to get up off of that throne, and then he's going to come down on a bright, big, angelic glory cloud. And he's coming to this place. Not to the earth, but in the air. We call that the rapture. He's coming again. Tell somebody, shout, he's coming. He is. He's coming. There was an entrance into heaven. Now, let's put all of this together. There was a little boy. And little boys, you know, like to fly kites. They still do. On our vacation, we saw some little boys and some girls trying to fly kites down on the beach. You ever tried to fly a kite on the beach? But anyways, this little boy was trying to fly his kite. It was a really dreary day. The wind was blowing really hard, and he was at the park trying to get this kite. But finally, he got that kite up in the air enough, and boom, it just took off. And the string began to unravel, and the kite went up and up and up, and finally got up so far you couldn't even see it. Went out of sight. It was behind a cloud. And he's just holding on, and that kite's tugging, you know. And this old gentleman walked up to him and said, son, What are you doing? He said, sir, I've got a kite up there. And he said, son, how do you know you've got a kite up there? He said, well, you can't see it, but you can feel the pull. We have a Savior in glory. And He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And one day, He is coming. And I feel that pull just a little bit this morning. And I don't know if I'm going to Him or He's coming to get me. But bless God, I am ready. Oh, just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. And when twilight falls and the Savior calls, I'll go to Him in glory. Here's the deal. Should He come today on that cloud, are you ready? I'm asking you, are you ready? Are all your sins confessed? All your sins repented of? As the video said, have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you turned from your sin and made a spiritual U-turn by surrendering to Christ as your only way, your only means of salvation to be made right with God? Have you done that? Well, if you haven't done that, friend, you are not ready. And you do not want to face, there's another one coming, and His name is Antichrist. And you do not want to meet up with that rascal. Jesus came so that you might have life. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you are here today and you know that if Jesus should come, you're ready. You're ready. But others are here and you're not ready. Maybe you're saved, but you've got sin in your life and you need to get cleaned up. If the Lord didn't let His Son get away with my sin, what makes you think you can get away with your sin? And you need to come to an old-fashioned altar, like we were singing about, to come and pray. Maybe you're here and you are not saved. You are not a believer. You're not a Christian. You haven't been born again. Oh, you're religious, but you don't have a relationship. Well, the Bible says if you'd be willing, by faith, if you're under conviction about your sin and you're so sick of it and sorry for the mess you've made of your life, and you would ask God to forgive you by trusting in the Son of God to save you, by simply calling on His name, God will bring you into relationship with Him right here this morning. You just pray right where you sit. Lord, that's right, just pray. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know my life's a mess. Sin has done a number on me. But I know that Your Son, Father, is the Redeemer. I know that He paid the price with His precious sacrifice so that I could be forgiven of my sin. He gave His life for me. And right now, as best I understand it, I want to turn from my stuff, my life, myself, and turn to Christ. Save me right here now. If you called on Jesus like that and your heart's right with God, listen, I believe you got saved right here this morning. But you can't be private about that. You need to come. And that's what this invitational hymn is all about. That's what this hymn of response is all about. You just need to come and say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ. We've got some folks who will get some things in your hands to get you started right. We'll pray over you. Maybe you're saved and you need to get cleaned up today. You got somebody you need to pray for. We'd love to pray with you. It's all up to you. The ball's in your court this morning. Let's all stand and sing, I Surrender All. Well, what a great song that is for us. Let's all stand and sing, and You come right now. Father, help us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.